on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of InvestTalk. It is July 10th, 2015. I thank you for joining me today. Online, streaming, well, live radio, our podcast subscribers, everybody, thank you very much. This is an audience participation program. I appreciate your questions and comments, and I really do solicit them. I always want to keep in tune with what's on your mind, not what I'm interested in, but what you're interested in. In addition to InvestTalk, our webinars and conferences, we also publish a premium newsletter. It comes out every Friday, $9.95 a month, and it goes out early. On the mornings on Friday. This week I talked about, the first main section is called the current market conditions, and I write about the Chapman University economic forecast. They come out with it once a year, but then they, at mid-year, they update it. They just had that not too long ago. And I give you some of their predictions, what they think. They've been very accurate. That's why I talk about it over the years. Very, very accurate. And they're pretty much looking for, slow growth this year and next. Nothing dramatic. And then I also talk about current events, always in there, and talk about the Greek tragedy. And I tell you that it's just what it is, a Greek tragedy affecting Greece. That's what it is. Maybe it affect the EU a little bit, but not too much. We're not going to have any kind of fallout. And then I talk about the Chinese market slide that happened. What is that going to do to us? Nothing much, I don't think. I make the point of being cautious about being cautious. I make a point saying that that's a good thing, but being frightened for no rational reason is not a good thing in that newsletter. Then I have stock ideas, give you a couple stock selections that we'd like you to watch and maybe put on your watch list. And always portfolio management tips on how to manage your portfolio, and a little suggestion/lesson on managing a portfolio of stocks. And in the Consumer Watch this week, I talked about if you're a grandparent and you want to help your child with college, what are the tax advantages? There really is no tax advantages for you, but maybe paying the tuition directly might be. Check with your CPA about that. Again, it's $9.95 a month. That's the InvestTalk newsletter, comes out every Friday. And to subscribe, just go to investtalk.com. But let's go ahead and get to work answering some questions. That's what we're supposed to do here. 888-99-CHART. We'll take the question now on our 24-hour listener line.
Hi, Steve. My name is Sharon. I'm calling from Denver, Colorado. I just have a question about what your opinion is on emerging markets. I know you're talking about the importance of getting interested in things that people hate. So I'd just like to hear what your opinion is on that, if this is a good time to get in. Thanks again. Take care.
Well, they've been beat up. Emerging markets, you can look at the emerging market by using EEM, which is the ETF for emerging markets. And it's been beat up because of the Chinese situation. And it looks like it's trying to find support. Right where it's found support before, about $38. Today it's at $38.44. It went down to $37 this week and bounced up. But I like the emerging markets. I think that they're less expensive than our market at this point. And of course, China is very influential in emerging markets because, there's a lot of emerging markets in Asia. But when something has been out of favor for a long, long time, that's when you should start to think about maybe I should consider buying that out of favor sector or out of favor industry. Okay, and that's kind of why I like big integrated oil companies. They've been beaten up and no one likes them, and there's certain things that the emerging markets are going to come back. It's just when. How long is it going to take? and how far down before it will bounce, you know, and you have to make that kind of decision. But I do like the emerging market sector. But remember, that's only one piece of the whole puzzle of your portfolio. So don't get, you know, carried away with thinking that, you know, that I'm going to have a my portfolio full of emerging markets. You don't do that. Okay? Appreciate the call. These funds invest in a mix of stocks and bonds. Is their popularity warranted? I'm talking about hybrid mutual funds. You know what a hybrid mutual fund is? And should you be involved in them? That's going to be one of our main talking points today. I also want to talk about couples that say they're talking about money in a survey. And are they really? Let's talk about that. Also, the biggest mistakes people make when buying their retirement dream home. When you retire and you think you're going to retire to a certain area, what are some of the mistakes? And I've seen these personally, so I know what we're talking about. What age group do you think is the worst drivers, by the way? And you're going to get it wrong. What age group do you think is the worst drivers? And the groups are 16 to 20, 21 to 34, 35 to 54, 55 to 65, and 65 and older. Which group do you think is the worst drivers? And how about some bad financial advice that everybody thinks is good advice? I got three things that I want to bring up that people, that is not really good advice. It's kind of bad. But people think it's good advice. Hopefully I can get to all those things before the end of the day, before the end of this hour. The market was up pretty good today, up 212 points. The NASDAQ, that was the Dow, the NASDAQ up 75 and the S&P up 26. So how was the week? The week was up just a hair. So we had a week that was down last week, a week that was very volatile this week, but ended pretty much flat. And we're still not in a correction. I mean, it feels like it. There's a lot of stocks going down. But, you know, a correction, it's pretty hard for me to say that a correction of 2 or 3% is a correction. I can't, you know, that's normal market volatility. And it's gone down 2 or 3% this last 2, 3 weeks. And the market's down 1, 2, 3% for the year, the broader market. But I can't tell you that that's a correction. We certainly can say the market's not strong. I mean, that's obvious. But we still haven't seen a correction. Remember, summer usually has a correction. Not always, but I think the stat is around 70%. There's some kind of correction. And people say that there's always a market rally in the summer, and that's kind of a misnomer. And I've made that mistake myself, saying, well, there's a correction and then a rally. But it's not necessarily in the summer. It may start in the summer, but you really can't count it as a rally until it really makes up for all the correction it made, right? So it goes down 10% and comes back 8 of that 10%. Is that a rally? I can't really say it's a rally until it recovers all the correction and rallies from there. And that's not as common. What you can say is very often in the summer, the market bottoms. You can say that. And that's what's going on. You know, why did the market rally so strong today? Because there's upbeat feelings that maybe Greece is going to get a bailout and then maybe there'll be agreement. Well, we'll see. It's been postponed and back and forth. I think there will be, by the way. I've said it before. I think there's going to be a last minute, okay, we'll do this, you do that. And I think it benefits both sides that they do that. If you're an InvestTalk insider and you want to have a key to our whole library of recorded webinars, that's what an InvestSider does. So it's easy to become an InvestTalk insider. And the latest one I have is on global investing. And there's 11 of them altogether, those webinars in there. To become an InvestTalk insider, just go to investtalk.com. No investment is required. No, it's all free. It's cheap, but you can't get cheaper than free. So check in with your questions about now, 401k choices, any money matter that you may want to discuss. That's what I want to hear. 888-99-CHART. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Bobby, who's in Atlanta, Georgia. How are you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Steve. Good. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
What do you think of Terex, T TEX, the big construction equipment company.
Well, what's really good about it is there's a lot of insider buying in the last year. I mean, there's been a ton of insider buying. So I think the insiders, management owns 4% of the company. I think they like it. It's a $2.3 billion company, Terex Corporation, TEX, manufactures capital equipment for the construction, infrastructure, mining, shipping, and transportation industries. And their sales have been, the recent couple of quarters have been weak, down 1% 2 quarters ago, down 10% the most recent quarter. But the stock itself is fairly inexpensive. They're going to make $2.05 this year and $2.52 next year. They made $2.36 last year. So if they're going to make $2.52 and it's a $22 stock, that means the PE is below 10. And they're buying $200 million worth of their common stock outstanding. It's a $2.3 billion company, and they're buying $200 million worth of stock. That's like 8, 9% they're taking out. So earnings per share will go up just because of that. I kind of like it. Now, the stock is weak, and you got to wait till it starts recovering. But I have a feeling that it's very, very close to the bottom at $22.
Okay.
I really do. Go ahead.
Is there like an, I know this whole sector is weak, so is there an ETF which has like this company and probably Caterpillar and Jacobs Engineering and companies like those? Do you know on top of your head?
I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't, Bob, because there are just so many ETFs these days. I don't know of one off the top of my head, but it would not surprise me. What you would like to look for is an ETF in the machinery, construction, mining industry. Machinery, right. Construction, mining industry. That's what that industry is. Okay?
Okay. Okay, but if I had to pick up Terex, would you buy it at like 20-ish?
I think if it falls below $22, I think you're going to have to wait till you see it show you some strength. I really think, because it can go down to 15. Okay? So if it doesn't hold here, the next strong support is right around 15. So don't be too anxious to get in there, okay, Bobby?
All right, sounds good. Thank you for your wisdom.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's talk to Robbie in Santa Clara. How do you, Robbie?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, this is regarding the stock, the Apple. Okay, due to the global turmoil, whatever the different reasons, we see the downside from the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Okay, due to the where is the bottom of the stock, right? So if you can give some idea on that, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay, well, there's a lot of strength right around $118 to $120, and now it's at $123. That's a lot of support right there. In other words, it's gone down there before. That's where the 200-day average is. So there should be support coming into the stock, and, of course, it bounced up today, but you know, one day doesn't tell us it'll stop going down. So that might be where it will go. I mean, it might be 118 to 120. The next really strong support comes in around 105. Okay? Those are the two areas that is really strong support. And we're coming, you know, as the summer goes through, this is their weak quarter, Apple's, and they start to gain strength in the fall. That's pretty typical of Apple. Now, they have also pre-ordered a lot, you know, like 85 to 90 million new Apple phones for this new cycle coming up. That's 10%, 12% more than they did last year when the new Apple phone came out, the new bigger phone. So they're acting like it's going to be a pretty upbeat year for them. So I kind of like Apple. Mm-hmm. Kind of like it. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Robbie. I will be meeting with a limited number of listeners in our San Jose satellite office on Wednesday, July 15th. To save your spot, just go to investtalk.com and click on Make an Appointment. Make an Appointment. That's what button you click on. Right now, on this July 10th, I'm ready to take on any money questions you might have. 888-99-CHART is how you can get through to me right now here on Invest Talk.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Did you know you can access a link to a related article associated with each day's main talking point? Also, you can click to back listings for the last 10 InvestTalk episodes, each listing the topics and stocks discussed right there on InvestTalk.com.
888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to David in San Jose. He wants to talk about Solar City Corporation. How are you doing, David?
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for the call.
Absolutely. I was wondering what you thought about Solar City. They have been kind of weak lately in the last couple of weeks, and also there's a IPO coming up with SunPower, so I was wondering how that's going to affect them. And they've been able to hold this low 50s, and I was wondering what you thought.
Yeah, they've been holding the high 40s to low 50s for almost a year now. And they go down to like the $48 range and then pop back up, and it's now 53. The problem I have with SolarCity is that even though sales are still growing, they're growing slower than they were, but they're still growing, they're not making any money. They're going to lose $6 a share this year. And then $6.85 a share next year. They're going to lose that kind of money. So that kind of concerns me. It's a $5 billion company, and they only do like $200 million of sales a year. It's way too expensive, and even at $50. It's all because everybody thinks solar energy is great, and I'm not saying it's not, but it's that mindset that this is a really great future for the economy. I'm not so convinced that, you know, until they start making money, and they have only made money 1 year, 2011, in the last 10 years. 1 year did they make money. Every other year they've lost money. And David, just so you know, I don't buy stocks that don't make money. It's not something I like to be interested in. And I still think this is way too expensive. I don't think they're going to go below 48. I'm not saying that they're going to collapse or anything. It's just that... Uh-huh. For me, I wouldn't be buying this stock. It's not making money. Okay?
All right. Thank you very much, Dave.
Thanks for the call, Dave. Appreciate it. Don't think he really wanted to hear that part, though. It's just that, you know, my philosophy, and I've said it over and over and over, I like to buy companies that make money. Every other company is a great story, and Solar City is a great story. It's a story stock. I don't like to buy story stocks. I like to buy companies that make money and grow their money. It's already hard enough, right, to find good, solid companies that are going to go up. I have a better shot if they're at least making money. That's my opinion anyways. Hybrid funds. You know what a hybrid fund is? Hybrid mutual fund. Well, most often is referred to as a fund that both buys both stocks and bonds. And many of them are like 60, 70% stocks and 30, 40% bonds. And that's the typical hybrid mutual fund. And they've been very popular in the last couple of years because it gives you some downside protection, but also some income from the bond portion. Now, this is my problem with them. The problem is that mutual funds sell at a net asset value. And if interest rates rise and the bond value portion of the fund goes down, the net asset value of that mutual fund will have a hard time going up. You'll still get your yield from those bonds, but I'd rather see you have that 60-70-30 split with actually owning the bonds and holding the maturity. You're physically holding your own bonds and then buy your own stocks, because then the value of your bonds is whatever the value of the bonds, and it always goes back to par. So you'll always get your money back if you bought it at par. So that's one of the hybrids. Now, there's also a very popular hybrid that's been out the last few years, and that is these hybrids that act like hedge funds. Now, the problem with hedge funds, have you ever noticed over the years that every so often they blow up? Now, why is that the case? It's very, very clear why that happens. Hedge funds are managed by very smart people, very aggressive people, and they have an incentive to be extra aggressive. They borrow money, they use margin, they do very exotic trading, because not only do they get a percentage of the money under management every year, they generally get 20% of the profits. So they have a really strong incentive to leverage the hilt out of these funds to get that, to reach for that return. And when they do reach for the return, many times they're correct, and that gives them a good return. But every so often, they're wrong, and when they're on heavy, when they're heavily leveraged, they blow up. In other words, they get cut by 60, 70, 80% in value. And that year, they don't get their 20% of profits. But you, the investor, are really in a very difficult place. Hedge funds generally have that kind of mentality. So be very, very careful of those mutual funds that act like hedge funds. Think about leverage. What happens when you have to deleverage? Coming up next half hour, a new feature we're calling InvestTalk Portfolio Profile. InvestTalk Portfolio Profile, where I'm going to make an example. They're going to look at a real-life portfolio that I've seen and talk about the flaws and the problems, the costs, the issues that portfolio is presenting. And that's coming up next half hour segment. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley. You can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART. That's 888-992-4278.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on InvestTalk.
InvestTalk is a two-way conversation, as you know. But if you have a question between programs and you still want to ask it, even though we're not live, we're live right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. But we'll answer the question on the next InvestTalk if you leave it on our answering. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Dustin. This is Chris Reed, Mobile. Wanted to get your take on ExxonMobil, XOM. I'm not a current owner. Just wanted to see if this is a good entry point. Obviously, with the oil prices dropping, it seems like a good opportunity to add this to my portfolio.
ExxonMobil, XOM. You know, everybody knows who ExxonMobil is. And I do think this weakness, and it's been weak for a year, this weakness is where you want to think about picking it up. Yes, sales have been falling. Well, the reason why sales have been falling is because oil prices have been falling. But it's the world's largest integrated oil company, right? They're still going to make a lot of money. They pay a 3.6% dividend. They're going to make $4.40 this year, then $5.35 next year. But the problem is they made $7.60 last year per share. So you can see where the low oil prices has hurt them. And the stock price has reflected. It's $82 a share. $82 a share, but it has a very good return on equity, not very hardly any debt. You know, there's really good fundamental reasons to own this company, but I would caution you, you want to kind of wait to see some strength, a little bit of strength come in before you jump in. And we haven't seen that yet. In March to April, beginning of May, it started to move back up, and so it gave you that false sense that it finally hit a bottom, and then it's fallen ever since that May 1st day. And so if we get a correction this summer, this is where you want to pick up this ExxonMobil. I for the long haul, this is a long-term investment, everybody. This is one of your core holdings that you're looking for. And I'll say this, even though I'm not supposed to, I kind of like Chevron as well, CVX. Their dividend right now is 4.9%. So, you know, I like those two companies a lot. ExxonMobil, XOM, everybody. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I have talked to many, many retired people, many people moving into retirement. And one of the questions I always ask, are you going to retire where you are now, or are you going to move someplace else? And how much money is that going to cost you? Those kinds of things. And so here are five or several, I don't know how many, biggest mistakes people make when thinking of their retirement dream home, where they're going to go. The first one is really not a mistake, and I think most people think about it, not having a plan. I think most people have a plan. okay, in their head, this is what we're going to do. We're going to move to Missoula, Montana, because it's cheap, it's beautiful, it's, you know, we can get a pretty good property, and we're outdoors people, and we really love it. Well, this is, when you have that plan, my suggestion is to, whatever you decide you want to retire, go there in the worst time of the year. And for Montana, that would be January, February. Spend a couple of weeks in January, February. And put yourself there when it's ice cold. And are you okay to live through that period of time? That's, and if you're going to like retire to Florida, if that's what you're going to do, go there in July and August. Think about the humidity and the heat. Can you survive that? Is that comfortable? Remember, you're planning on retiring there. Another mistake is most people don't give enough consideration of leaving their friends and family, their associations, where they live right now. This is very important because as soon as you leave, you disassociate yourself with those people. Now all your friends are far away. So make sure you consider that. And a lot of times I tell people, maybe you should retire to wherever your grandchildren are, where if you want to spend time with them. Maybe you should think about that. But then, on the other hand, they may move. Your children may move. Another one, assuming you will be able to drive forever. At some point, you can't drive anymore. So consider that. Maybe you want to move into a city where there's a lot of walking that is very easy to walk to, doctors and grocery stores and church, whatever. Try not to underestimate your home-related expenses. Go back to Missoula, Montana. You know how much it's going to cost to heat a home in the winter in Missoula, Montana? Or do you know how much it's going to cost to air condition a house in southern Florida? See, so think about those costs that we don't have here on the, you know, Southern California. We really don't have, at least where I am, I'm near the coast, a lot of expense in heating or cooling. So those are just some of the issues that you really, really should consider. You're listening to Invest Talk. We try to be a source of straight talk about your money. That's what my big effort is, always to be as truthful and clear as possible about money questions. 888-99-CHARTERS is our number. You can reach it 24 hours a day. If you call between programs, we're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, we still will answer the question. 888-992-4278.
And now, InvestTalk Portfolio Profile. Common portfolio flaws that can add too much risk or not enough growth to your retirement portfolio. Let's look under the hood.
What I've done is I've made up some portfolios, and some might be from real life situations, but most of them are made up. And but they're based on real portfolios I've seen. And the first one I want to talk about is double or nothing kind of portfolio. And these kind of portfolios, everything goes fine. Everything's really great. You've made a ton of money when the market's doing well. But you're not given enough consideration of all the risks that you're taking, okay? And it could be in any, it could be in a 401k, you know, it could be because some of it may be because you work for the company and you've gotten a lot of stocks. Well, here's one. This person has Tesla with about $650,000 worth of Tesla. Apple, $50,000 worth of Apple. Netflix, $35,000 there. SPY, which is the NASDAQ, which is the S&P 500, and he's got $35,000 that. Google, $45,000, AT&T, $10,000. This obviously has made a lot of money for this person because Tesla has done very, very well. Netflix has done well. Google's done well. Apple's done well. But he's super concentrated in one stock, Tesla. And there's nothing wrong with Tesla. I think it's going to be the next big car company in the United States. I really do. I really, really do. But it is so overpriced because it's so hyped up that anything can happen. And the problem is it will just, whatever happens to Tesla kind of controls this portfolio. The other problem with this portfolio, it's almost all high tech. Another problem with the portfolio, too few stocks, not enough in different industries. So if you're going to manage the risk, okay, since it is concentrated, the reward could be huge. And this person got a huge reward. Great. I'm very happy for them. But you're not managing or paying any attention to the risk that it presents to you as well. So, you know, at some point you got to say, well, how much more risk do you want to take? Because as Tesla goes up, the concentration of risk is greater and greater and greater. So I want to just warn people to understand the risk that they're taking in this kind of portfolio where they're really rolling the dice on this. Be very, very careful. Okay? And that's InvestTalk Portfolio Profile. A successful portfolio is more than just about picking the right stocks and the right funds. There's other questions you got to ask. The design, the management of risk, the type of risk you want to take. You know, and as you get older and older and older, maybe less and less of risk you should take. Now, if you want to talk about your portfolio, want to send it to me, I'll take a look at it. Go to contact Steve on our InvestTalk.com website or call 888-99-CHART anytime.
Roughly 1 in 3 U.S. investors, 32%, say they worry a lot or a fair amount about the financial abuse or exploitation of older family members or close friends. Having a trusted financial professional who can advise investors on major financial decisions or even monitor accounts is one way to avoid being victimized. Is that a topic you want to talk more about? Now's the time. 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now. Or get a personal note to Steve on InvestTalk.com. Just click on Contact Steve.
Yeah, I have a question about 3D Systems. Bought it at 49. I've owned it since the first of the year. It's dropped quite a bit. Picked up a few positions as it was dropping. It just keeps dropping like a rock. Curious if I should just take my losses now, hold on. I know I read something a few weeks ago about some litigation and lawsuits arising as far as misleading information. And I guess that's my question. Don't know if I should dump it, take my losses, hold on, go for the ride, and what information you have on the lawsuit. I do qualify for the lawsuit as far as when I purchased the shares. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, 3D Systems manufactures printing, prototyping, manufacturing systems, producing 3D objects from computer data. And this was a really hot stock, and I got a lot of flack that I kept saying that it's way, way overvalued, and I would not buy this stock. And it went from last year from 27 to 97. And boy, did I sound stupid. Everybody thought I was fairly stupid, and I kept saying that. You know, I think this 3D manufacturing is really going to take off. But when you don't make hardly any money, it's just not worth $95 a share. When you're making 70 cents or 55, this year they're going to make 55 cents a share. Last year they made 70 cents. Next year they're going to make 88 cents. Well, what's that worth? Sales are growing nicely, 10% to 25% in the last four quarters on average. Year before it was like 50%. So now the stock has come down to a reasonable value is what I think it is. It's going to make 88 cents. It's in a $16.82 stock. It's getting to the point where now it has some value. Okay, reasonable value. And therefore, you know, it's going to stop falling. I'm not sure where it's going to stop falling. But at least it's making money and it's going to grow its money in the next year or two. I kind of like those things. And finally, it's come down to earth as far as valuations. So if you got it at 49 and it's now $16, $17, if it's in a taxable account, you might want to sell it just so you can realize the loss. So you can apply it to a gain of something else. Because it's still falling. I can't tell you exactly where it's going to end. I just think it's getting close to the end of where it falls. But what if it goes down to 12? 16 to 12 is a big fall. What if it goes down to 10? See, 8? It could. Could easily. I don't see any strength in it, so it's not something I would be in. Not yet. Mm-mm. But estimates are, you know, earnings estimates are going up. So I'm just finally saying, hey, this looks like a possibility now, whereas before it wasn't. And for all those people that beat me up because I kept complaining about how expensive it was and telling people not to buy it, and it was kept going up, I finally get a little bit of vindication now. Thank you very much. Okay, and that's Investtalk. Okay, so that's DDD, 3D Systems Corporation. I do think the three-dimensional printing manufacturing process is going to just get bigger in the future. I really do. Okay. What couples say they're talking about when they talk about money. There was a survey. And the survey says 43% of people who either don't know their spouse's salary or gave the wrong figure, where 70% of them said they talk about finances with their spouse. How can that be? If 70% say they talk to their spouse about finances, how can 43% say they don't know how much their spouse makes? It makes no sense. That tells you they're not really talking about finance. What they're talking about is, hey, you want to go buy that new car? Hey, you want to go buy some curtains? Hey, you want to go buy that bicycle? We can bicycle for two. That's what they're talking about. They're not talking about real financial matters. And, of course, you realize financial matters are the number one. Money is the number one reason for divorce in this country. And I really think it's because either couples don't know how to talk about money or don't talk about it on purpose. They're hiding it. Or they're just very uncomfortable talking about it. It's one of those three things. And it's really something that you really should talk about with your spouse. Really, really should. And I think it's important. If you want to have your marriage last, you better talk about money. Just my personal opinion. 888-99-CHART. Let's go to Art at Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you today?
Good. How about yourself? The weekend's here. I hope you have a good one.
I'm still at work, but that's okay.
Bummer.
Let's see. I wanted to ask you about Lumber Liquidator because they had that big issue on
the Chinese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's dropped from probably about 70 plus down to about, I think it's at 19 the last I looked.
Yeah, so it's today $20.31 today. It was up 40 cents today, so got above the $20 area. Lumber Liquidators, everybody, symbol LL. And just so you know, that they had big trouble with manufacturing processes out of China, it was a big issue. And that's going to cost them a lot of money. And I'll say this, Art, I think you got to wait till the litigation's over with, because there's going to be a lot of litigation about this, and I don't know how much it's going to cost them. So I think you got to be really, really patient. It's going to take a year, 2 years, 3 years before you really know. And I think I would stay away from it until that's done. Okay? Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We do have time for another couple of questions. The lines are always open, everybody. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and you can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART. I'll do my best to answer your questions, I promise. This is InvestTalk.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast, When It's Risky to Be Conservative with Stocks. That's our talking point for Monday's podcast. We hope you'll join us then.
Before the end of the hour, I want to talk about some bad financial advice that sounds like it's pretty good, but not really if you delve into it a little bit. So I want to get to that before the end of the hour, hopefully. Let's go talk to BJ in Fremont. How you doing, BJ?
I'm doing good, Steve. I hope you're doing good on Friday.
I am. Thank you for the call. I really appreciate it.
All right. So my question is, China's stocks have been fluctuating and it has gone down considerably.
Yes.
And it has made quite some recovery. Do you think it is a good time to start dollar cost averaging through some mutual funds?
Well, you could, but be very, very slow, BJ. The reason why I'm saying that, because it does look like they've sold off enough that they might be finished, but there's over 1,000 stocks that are, I mean, it's like 1,400 that have suspended trading this week. So what happens when they open up next week? You know, when they start trading again, are they going to be, you know, are they going to cause a fall again, or are they going to be stabilized? And that's an unknown, BJ. We don't know that. We don't know. So I would be very cautious, but I would be cautiously optimistic because it is a buying opportunity. We just don't know if it's done with the fall, and no one's ever going to know. BJ, they don't ring a bell at the bottom. They don't tell you, oh, this is the bottom. Yeah, they don't.
Right.
So this could be a place to start tipping your toe in, yes.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay, some bad financial advice that sounds pretty good. And you're going to agree with me on that. That sounds pretty good. How about this? They always say this. Start saving for your child's education right away. Doesn't that sound good? And frankly, it probably is good advice, but only if you've already taken care of your own retirement first. Remember, the child's got years and years and years and years to pay back any student loans. You may not have that many years to save up money for retirement. How about this one? Avoid credit cards altogether. I have never said that. That's not true. What you do is you avoid credit card debt. So instead, you should say, use credit cards, but use them responsibly. Because you need, you know, it goes to your credit score, and you want to buy a house or refinance a house, you got to have good credit scores. And you do that with using credit cards. So don't necessarily not use them. And a third one, retire early. You know, I'm not so keen on that because I tried that. That didn't kind of work out for me. Instead, maybe you should say retire when you can comfortably both afford it financially and emotionally. My situation was all about emotion. I thought I could retire early. This was years and years ago, but I wasn't ready for it mentally. I saw my life before me being so bored. So it sounds great to retire early, but you better be ready for it both financially and emotionally for that. So those are three things I think you should think about when you get financial advice. Saving for your child's college, that's a great goal. It's wonderful. But first, save for your own retirement. That's number one. How I explain this, because people don't necessarily think that's a good advice for me, how I explain it is, well, if you don't have enough money in retirement, make sure your child understands that you're going to be moving in with them when they're adults and raising their family. And do you want to do that? Because if you run out of money, what's going to happen? And I have personal experience with family members, older family members having no money and having to live for family, okay? Trust me, it's not a pleasant experience for the person who's older. Let's get one more question before the hour. 888, oh, I don't have time. Okay, I do want to, okay, let me talk about this real fast. What age group are the worst drivers? Now, 16 to 20 years old, 21 to 34, 35 to 54, 55 to 65, or over 65. Most people, and I would too say 16 to 20, when it comes to fatalities, that's not true. It's the 21 to 34 year old group, not the younger group, 16 to 20. Isn't that interesting? 65 and older, that's third. Okay. Gotta go. We're out of time for the day. Use our 24-hour listener line if you like. Get your questions into me and I'll answer them on the next Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial. Thank you for listening and have a great weekend. We'll talk again on Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.